The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I'm confident sports will come back in 2020. I'm confident there will be football in the fall. I'm just not confident they'll have it in California. I'm just not confident that there will be a Pac-12 schedule. I think there are only a few states where sports could be jeopardized in 2020. And it's not just California. What about New York? But then again, what collegiate sports would New York compromise? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can answer that question at 888-729-3776. How is it the greatest metropolitan area in the United States, the biggest in terms of population, has no great university or D1 collegiate program to speak for it? That's coming up in just a moment here on the Will Cain Show. But David from Tennessee wants to get in on the top 10 NBA players of all time. What's up, David?
Hey, Will. Thanks so much for taking my call, man. First-time caller, big fan of your show. I just think that Kobe should be lower than number 9. I think somewhere like 5 or 6 or something like that.
So you'd place Kobe, David, and by the way, I appreciate the compliment. I appreciate you listening. You'd place Kobe ahead of who? Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, Tim Duncan. Who would you place him ahead of that's currently ahead of him on this ESPN.com list?
Well, I think you had, I think Kobe was better. Well, see, what do you have? You had Duncan at number, where's Duncan at?
Duncan was number 8. Kobe was number 9.
Number 8. I think Kobe was definitely better than Duncan. Duncan was a great player in his own right, but I think Kobe is getting a little bit underappreciated. I think top 5th or 6th. I think he was better than Magic too, though, man, to be honest with you.
All right. I appreciate the call, David. I think Kobe's fairly placed. I think Duncan belongs ahead of Kobe. I think Bird belongs ahead of Kobe. We have to appreciate how literally revolutionary and ahead of his time that Wilt Chamberlain was. And Magic Johnson won 5 titles. He did share the court with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and James Worthy. But Kobe shared the court with Shaquille O'Neal, who he came in ahead of, by the way, and who was ranked number 10. I recognize that Kobe came back and won 2 championships with Pau Gasol as his main running mate. But I think he's fairly placed at number 9. I don't know that I could, in good consciousness, place him ahead of any of those players we just rattled off. I could, in good consciousness, demote LeBron James below 3 or 4 players he's currently ahead of, coming in at number 2. The prospect of sports coming back in 2020 has been something I've talked about today. Yesterday, as news broke that Cal State University System would not have students back on campus this fall, I felt like that was a domino that began to fall, and it would be hard to contain the fallout on where the impact on collegiate sports would end. If you can't have students on campus, we've been told, you can't have students in the stadium. If you can't have students in the stadium, you can't have fall sports. If you can't have fall sports in California, you can't have a Pac-12 schedule. And if you can't have a Pac-12 schedule, how many other conferences and universities does that affect? But I believe because of intolerance from businesses and people out there to the current conditions and the impact of money, should we cancel these major sporting events, we will have sports in 2020. Daniel Cormier, former MMA fighter, was on First Take today, and he talked about UFC putting on 249, jumping into the middle of a crisis and starting to, I'm sorry for the metaphor, just swing punches at the problem. Shows. Fighters can get in. Metaphorically still, fighters can get in and start solving problems. Here's Daniel Cormier.
This is why I believe the NBA can go, because now you got, I mean, what is the roster? 15, maybe 13 to 15 people. You can test these people. Put them in one area, like I said, and then let them start playing basketball. because we need live sports right now, and we need basketball. Right now is the time where we'd be getting ready for the playoffs and all the best basketball that we've waited for. And it's like we're missing out on those things because of the virus. And I understand that we're in a different time, but now the testing is more readily available and people are more inclined to trying to make things happen. So I think it can work.
I think the UFC has shown what happens when you get in and start chopping away at a problem. Will the NBA do that? I don't know. But I do think collegiate sports will do that. What I don't know is whether or not states that are shutting down the hardest will follow suit. I'm skeptical that California will have collegiate sports in the fall. And the only other state I can really think of that would also have trouble allowing students back on campus and therefore allowing collegiate sports to take place in the fall would be the state of New York. Even Michigan, who's been very stringent in its stay-at-home orders, can you imagine being a politician in the state of Michigan suggesting that the Wolverines won't be playing this fall? I hope you packed light, because there won't be a re-election. New York is the only other state outside of California I can imagine having a situation where political orders canceled a college football season. But then that got me to thinking, and Nuno and Bubba and Mike A and I were all talking, there's no real big college football program in the state of New York. I mean, Syracuse is as big as it gets, and Syracuse is upstate. And it made me wonder, how is it you could have 8 million people in the city of New York and 20-some-odd million in the tri-state area of New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut, and not have a single massive D1 collegiate program to speak for it? New Jersey is a big football state. Rutgers? Well, Rutgers isn't a big football school. Now, I understand everybody from this area goes, I guess, to Penn State, or a third of them go northeast to Boston College, but I can't believe that in this area of 20 million people of every ethnic and socioeconomic background where football is very popular, there's not a single big-time university with a big-time D1 collegiate program to speak for it. You can't find another example in this country. You can't find another metro area, another big vacant hole on the map where you don't have a collegiate program to speak for it. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why. Mike A, Nuno, Bubba, you're all from this area. Why do you think it is? I don't care which city you're talking about. Houston has Texas A&M. Los Angeles has USC. Northern California has Berkeley and Stanford. Miami has Miami. Everywhere around the South, cities of mid-size have big collegiate programs with big investments in football. Michigan, Ohio State, wherever you go, you can find a big-time program cultivating that recruiting base, money around the program, and a big-time school. Even in Colorado, and by the way, Denver is not very diverse and not as big as the New York, New Jersey area, has at least the Buffaloes, and that's more than Rutgers. I can't believe or explain how this huge population center in the United States has no collegiate football program.
I can't think of it either. It's something that I've always wondered myself. I mean, I guess we're just all about the professional sports because we can't even get people to care about college sports in the New York market.
Yeah, that's from a fan's perspective. But, you know, and Nuno, you and I were talking about this, it's big in New Jersey. Like, high school football is big in New Jersey. And
in some spots, kids, though. I mean, like in northern New Jersey it is, in certain spots.
Where are those kids going to school? Florida? Clemson? Penn State?
A lot of them go to Michigan.
Some, yeah, and some Alabama and stuff, yeah.
So, yeah, and I think Long Island's always had, you know, out in New York has always had, you know, has had some great programs. But those kids end up going away, and that's always what happened here in Connecticut, where your best players, you know, the 5 to 10 that were top level, you know, 4 stars, 5 stars, they were always leave the state. You know, they were going to Syracuse or, you know, going down to Florida, you know, Aaron Hernandez. But they're, except for like Orlovsky, I think was one of the first big time recruits to stay in the state of Connecticut.
I mean, I wonder if conference would have something to do with it. If you're saying, if you're a kid playing here, like, and maybe that's why the Rutgers and all these people are in the Big Ten now, whatever. If you're a kid here, like, oh, I can play at UConn. Oh, they're in the, at the time, the Big East, now the American. Or you play BC, they're in the, you know, Or you can go to the Big Ten or the SEC. Like, all the schools here weren't in any big conferences. So, you know, Syracuse or Rutgers or whichever school you pick around here, they were not even in a good conference. And so maybe that they wanted the exposure to go elsewhere.
It's stunning. It really is. I mean, if this were a business, you'd say, what a market opportunity. It's not a business. Well, not in the traditional sense. But you would say, hey, let's buy low on Rutgers and see if we can sell high. We got to find some big public university who's in a big-time conference who could recruit this area and dominate. It's the biggest market opportunity I can think of in all of college football. Will we have fall sports, not just in the state of California, but in the Pac-12? Let's ask Sean Farnham. He's up next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
I'm confident we're going to have sports in the fall. I'm not confident that the Pac-12 will. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune into the conclusion of The Last Dance this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. And listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. My phone lines are lit up. People want to get in on whether or not LeBron James is the second-best player of all time and why is there no big-time collegiate sports in the New York area. There's some other markets people are pointing out that are devoid of big-time collegiate programs. That's coming up in just a moment here on the Will Cain Show. But joining me now is ESPN basketball analyst Sean Farnham. What's up, Farnham?
Not much. I think the big question I have is how far down that list that you posted on Instagram today have your kids successfully gotten?
It's off to a slow start, Sean. I would suggest there's a few check marks. The real test will be whether or not there are check marks or even the existence of a checklist by, I'd say, Saturday morning. What Sean's talking about is on my Instagram, See Will Cain, this morning. I posted a new checklist. I got after it today. I really woke up with some vigor. And I made a long list of things that my boys have to do every day. Not every day, but they have to get three or four checks from the categories every day. So we'll tally them up at the end of the week. And a lot of it has to do with soccer drills. And then, you know, there's some football and basketball. It's well-rounded, though, Sean. I put guitar on there, too.
I was pretty impressed with the list. I think, you know, if you put some painting or drawing on there as well, I think that would probably enhance it a little bit. But I thought it was very well-rounded. I was impressed overall.
Well, if you look at the bottom, there's actually a line that says craft slash build. So that's there for them to do whatever it is they want to use their brain in a new way. Listen, I'm the butt of this joke. Nobody else. Have you done this yet? 7 weeks or so into a quarantine, have you started making checklists for your kids and your family and saying, listen, we're not going to stare at iPads all day. We're going to get some things done during this quarantine, because that's what I did.
So basically, here, Nick, a lot of kids probably would hate to be in my house right now. So there is no video games, no iPad, Monday through Thursday in my house. So you've got to get outside and you've got to do something, because otherwise you're going to go crazy. So my kids are working out every single day. My kids, you know, 15 is my son's going to be a sophomore in high school. My daughter's 13. They both play club sports, and so they're missing it greatly. So we do a lot of training, and my kids are pretty fortunate. My wife played soccer. I played basketball. Those are the two sports my kids play. We do a lot of workouts. We do a lot of workouts, and I ordered those resistance bands and some weights, and we do strength training as well. So it's been fun, but we do a lot of drawing, and that's been a good release as well.
I love that,
I'm
man.
I'm just letting you know. I
love what you just described, because I'm like you, although I'm not the, you know, UCLA level basketball player or collegiate soccer player that your wife is, but I'm like, we're not wasting this time. We're going to do something. Now, they have to do distance learning all day, and so they're glued to this computer, but I'm like, when that's done, outside. And what more, I am probably going to be driving you a little bit. Like, I need to see you do some ladder agilities. I need to see you do some left foot juggling, all of this stuff. But here's what I want to ask you, Farnham. I posted on this, and we're going to get to the Pac-12 in just a moment. But I posted that, and I said, I got to figure out the incentive. And one of the guys who got onto my Instagram and commented, and I think it's a fascinating discussion he started, is like, be careful with the incentive, because then it becomes about that. And also, then the sport becomes a, you know, a have to instead of a want to. So you're pushing your kids and training them, and I'm sitting here making them do things as well. But I do wonder, like, my kids are a little younger than yours. Should they be doing it out of fun and love as opposed to checking off their to-do list?
Yeah, no, they should be doing it for fun and love, and you should make it fun or love. And like, if we're doing workouts, like, I'll do my workouts with my son. Like, if we're doing strength training, I'll do it with him. And we turn on music, and we take, you know, we get after it, but, you know, we're also trying to make it as fun as possible. We laugh. We make sarcastic jokes about each other's shots. Like, you know, it's a fun way to kind of balance each other out and make it to the point where they are having fun. Because there's a lot of kids that are going to get burned out, because there's some parents that are pushing, push, and they're going to get burned out, and they're going to walk away from their sport. And you got to balance that. And I think that's really important for young kids and parents that are driving around listening to this is, yes, this is a time to get better, but it's also a time to be mentally sharp as well. Like, go back and watch old film of old games that you played. You know, like, my son's been locked in on The Last Dance, and it's just blown away. I mean, you know Michael Jordan, but all this stuff has just been so much fun for him to relive. So find other things that are similar to that that might draw their love and their passion out for their sport even more.
Sean Farnham here on the Will Cain Show, ESPN basketball analyst. I know you've talked to some Pac-12 coaches. Here's what I've said, Sean. I want you to give me your feedback on this now. I do believe we're going to have not just professional sports, but collegiate sports in the fall of 2020. I think we're also going to have not just collegiate sports, but collegiate football. I think the money is too big and the tolerance is too low to do away with something that is so loved and economically important. What I am pessimistic about, though, is that it's going to happen in the state of California. Now, there's plenty of time, which all the more draws into question why Cal State University system would go ahead and say they're not going to have students on campus this fall, which the NCAA has told us, well, that means you're not having sports. So I am becoming very pessimistic that not just the Cal State system, but the UC system, which would include UCLA and Cal, will be having sports this fall, and thus I think that puts the Pac-12 in jeopardy. What do you think?
Okay, I talked to somebody that's in the Cal State system today, this morning, that coaches in that system. And I said, hey, what does this all mean for you guys? And he said, listen, what was said is not 100% accurate. That, yes, for a majority of the campus, it's going to be closed, but there are going to be still students on campus, and there will be certain subjects and whatnot that will still take place on campus. Their belief is that they are prepared, and they have been told to prepare their players mentally as well as their parents, that there will be fall sports and not just basketball coming up in, you know, October and November, but they're planning for a full fall sports in both the California state system still right now, and for the UC system that is probably likely to follow suit to the announcement that was made yesterday by the California State University system. So my anticipation is I'm an alliance, that they want to play sports, they're going to play sports. Now, the question will become, if you're talking about any of the Power Five conferences and how they may perceive to move forward, I think the Pac-12 would be the very last to say, hey, we're on board and we're going to go. Now, that's not of any firsthand knowledge. That's just based on how they've handled things in the past. They are a little bit more conservative in rolling things out in this kind of regard. And you got to remember, there's an alliance, too, amongst the governors between Washington, Oregon, and California. So if something's happening in California, it's likely to be followed by Oregon and Washington as well.
Sean Farnham here on the Will Cain Show. I'm up against my commercial break, but I just want to clarify a couple of things you just said, which I find fascinating. The UC system will probably follow a similar order to the one we just saw from the Cal State system, which is logical. Oregon and Washington, whose governors are in an alliance with California, will probably do what California does. But what you are telling me in the end is the announcement will allow for some students to be on campus, which I internalized as meaning like biology, which you can't do virtually, but might also include athletes. And therefore, despite the fact there could be no students on campus, you would still have athletics in not just Oregon, Washington, California, the UC system, but the Cal State system as well.
Yeah, so you're talking about schools like San Diego State, Fresno State that are part of the Mountain West Conference that have football programs. There's a lot of Cal State programs that don't have football, but those two do, and they're part of the Mountain West. My anticipation is both those schools would be in alignment, ready to go and play football. As of today, that's the plan going into the fall.
Really good stuff. Sean Farnham here on the Will Cain Show. Sean, love talking to you, man. Take care, bud.
All right, you too.
Who is your dark horse NFL MVP candidate? I've got mine. You'll love it. Plus, the phone lines are lit up on whether or not LeBron James is the second best player of all time and why there's no big-time collegiate sports in the New York area. Weird. It's coming up on the Will Cain Show.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
If anyone higher up at ESPN is listening to this right now, all I'm saying is you lost a long-time listener thanks to Will Cain.
You got something for Will? Call 888-SAY-ESPN.
If you're picking NFL MVP odds right now, who's your dark horse candidate? Maybe not long shot, but surprise candidate for NFL MVP. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier. With more than 30 coverage options available, Progressive has you covered. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. We've had several conversations today that have lit up the phone lines, like whether or not LeBron James is the second best player in the history of the NBA. I believe that because we've placed him in a debate with Michael Jordan as to whether or not he's the greatest of all time, we've come to accept that at worst, he's number two. No, I think Michael Jordan belongs below Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And I believe he belongs below Bill Russell. I think LeBron James is in a debate with Magic Johnson. And Scott in Los Angeles says Magic Johnson should win that debate. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, well, thanks for letting me on. The rest of the list was a total mess, but this top 10 is pretty much spot on with a couple of notable exceptions. Wilt, I have LeBron at number 6, and I have Wilt at number 5. Magic Johnson has to be number 2. He made 9 championship appearances in 12 years. He won 5 rings. The only reason that Jordan beat him in that last finals is because him and Worthy were at the end of their run, and they had Vlade Divac, who's nothing compared to Kareem. Had he had to play the Showtime Lakers, they would have got wiped. So I've always had Magic as 1B. Outside of Wilt, he is the unicorn of basketball until Kevin Durant showed up. If anybody questions his scoring, all they have to look at is the game where Kareem was hurt, and he scored over 40 to win the championship. Magic, with his scoring, passing, leadership, and everything about his competitive drive, gets the elevation. And contrastly, somebody has to be responsible for those 6 finals losses that LeBron has on teams that he basically put together once he left Cleveland. And so with load management and all the other detriments of today's basketball, it has to be attributable to LeBron. As far as his playing ability, not even close to Magic, Kareem, Wilt, or Bill Russell. So I would have LeBron at 6 and Magic at 2. Thanks for letting
Scott.
Come on.
All right, thanks for the call. I think I would also have LeBron right around 5 or 6. I think you make a compelling argument for him being behind Magic Johnson, but I still have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at number 2, as does Matt in L.A., Matt, make your argument for Kareem then over not just LeBron, but Magic Johnson as well.
Will, not old dog, but Kane. How you living, my man? Hey, yes, sir. I think you got it right. I mean, you know, Jordan is the GOAT because he was undefeated. The captain Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, most points scored, changed the game of basketball. His problem is not really basketball thing. It's that he was an a-hole off the court for the majority of his life. And media and fans tend to remember that kind of stuff. But if you just went pure basketball skills, I mean, the slam dunk outlawed for the guy. You know what I mean? Enough said. Hey, keep up the good work. And Magic is right up there too, man. People forget that that rookie deal when he was in the finals. That's unprecedented. Great job.
Good stuff. Yep, good stuff, Matt. I would add to that 19 All-Star appearances, 6 league MVPs, 6 NBA championships. As you said, all-time point scoring leader, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The dunk was outlawed because of him. I do think that he is punished because his personality was seen as off-putting. And I would say one more reason. Big men are just undervalued. Big men are just less appreciated. Bill Russell, Shaquille O'Neal, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They're just underappreciated. I also asked, how is it that the biggest metro area in the United States, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, the tri-state area, some 20-odd million people, with football being very popular in at least northern New Jersey, doesn't have a big-time Division I collegiate athletics program and not at all a big-time Division I collegiate football program to speak for it? Can you find another place on the map so devoid, a chasm around a population center where you just don't have big-time college football? But Donnie in Atlanta says I'm forgetting another one. Go ahead, Donnie.
Hey, Will, first-time caller, long-time listener. I was thinking about Chicago.
Chicago, okay. I agree, you would think that football would be bigger in and around Chicago. But we do have some examples, Donnie. So there is Northwestern, and it's better than Rutgers, but it's not big time. And that's largely because of academic reasons. They require so much of their student athletes. After Northwestern, I think you could say you have Illinois. They're not very good, but I would imagine a lot of kids that grow up in the Chicago area could end up with the Illini. And then this, Donnie. Don't you think Notre Dame becomes the big-time collegiate program of Chicago? I know it's not even in the same state, but Notre Dame is probably the biggest recruiting puller from that Chicago area.
I could see that, but I can't see kids from Chicago rooting for, like, Notre Dame, or kids from Illinois just, like, rooting for Notre Dame, or, you know, it being a big factor in Illinois. I don't even remember, like, them recruiting a bunch of people from Illinois on the Notre Dame football team.
Chicago's a good one. It's definitely not as stark as New York. I appreciate the call, Donnie. Nuno, you had another one you were thinking about, another big metro center where you couldn't find a big-time college and collegiate football program to represent it.
Yeah, what about the D.C. area? Like, Maryland's not great.
You know what I appreciate about you, Supreme Leader? We just got an email from management suggesting even if you're in a studio by yourself, you have to have your mask on. And from the sound of your audio, it's very clear you complied.
I do what I'm told. Some of you guys should listen.
Do you guys see the tweet that Nuno put out over the weekend? Bubba, Mike A., after he was watching The Last Dance, he said, I'm going to have to adopt Jordan's style of leadership with this show. Did you guys see his proclamation on Sunday night?
Yeah, I'd like to see him punch anybody but Pat on this show.
Not even that, though, right? There are specific words. Like, we were discussing this earlier. There was a specific word that he used, that Jordan used when he was killing, going at Scott Burrell. That there's no
on its way to spelling horse.
Yes,
that's like, that's all his tweet was about. He just wants to say that word. That's all he cares about.
Bubba, you think that's what it's about.
His entire tweet is about that one word. He loves it so much. Like, that's all he cares about.
He just wants to call us garden tools, huh?
Correct. And he's masking it in his leadership and all these other things he wants to do, but that's all he wants to do is be able to call us that one word. Good one.
Is that what inspired you about Jordan, Nuno? You just want to come back and use that kind of language with us?
No, I just like the fact that he's like, listen, I'm here to make you guys better. It doesn't matter if you're not going to like me or not. Like, just get on my back, get on the train, let's get this done. And I appreciate that. And sometimes you have to call someone out of their name, a lot of times, and just hope that they don't, you know, nowadays you got to be careful because people might be too sensitive. But, like, he just, it spoke to me. That's all.
Well, I will say this. I don't think Mike A is very high on the sensitivity charts. Bubba fluctuates up and down, but I'll say that Bubba won't get sensitive. You know, I won't get sensitive about this. So consider this your one time pass. If you want to call us that word, you can do it right now, Nuno.
We got to go to break.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You have the floor, Nuno. Go ahead. Call us that word if you would like to. No one will care. You won't get in trouble. None of us will get upset.
Exactly, right? That's what you're doing.
Do you want to spell it?
No. N O. No.
You're close. I don't think it was an N at the beginning. You're close. That's not an N at the beginning. All right. Nuno, inspired by Jordan's leadership, we'll call it. Who's your dark horse MVP candidate? I've got mine. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Who's your dark horse NFL MVP candidate? You got to pick now. Can't be the popular pick. Who do you go with? I'll give you mine coming up here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. It was never going to be easy, of course. And the incredible challenge of winning a sixth title in 8 years, completing a second three-peat, only grows more challenging the closer Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls get to the ultimate goal in the spring of 98. It's the final two episodes of The Last Dance this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. Catch up on every episode on demand on the ESPN app. But I want to take this call. I was going to do this today whether or not he called in anyway. But let me just refresh your memory if you're just joining the Will Cain Show community or haven't yet got a chance to understand or know who P.I. is. P.I. is a member of the Will Cain Show community. He's been calling into this show for several years. He calls in most of the time, it seems like, to give me a hard time. We've yelled at each other. We've fought. I've hung up on him. It's true. I have been a jerk. He has challenged me on race, on sports. We've laughed. We've busted each other's chops. We've had a good time. We've debated. At this point, I feel like I've known him for at least, I don't know, 2-3 years. One time, he even got pulled over live on air while talking to the Will Cain Show. We kept the show on the air and followed through with the whole interaction between PI and the police. Luckily, he didn't get a ticket for talking on the air hands-free. I was prepared to talk to the officer if need be, but the need did not arise. Once P.I. told him he was on the Will Cain Show, Johnny Law backed off. Well, P.I., as you might have learned when he called in, has been studying for quite some time to get his Ph.D. in robotics engineering. Earlier this week, one of his friends hit me up on social media because P.I. is not on social media. That's how you go about getting a Ph.D., not spending time on Twitter and Instagram. That's why I don't have a Ph.D., plus I'm not smart enough. But P.I. does. He now has a Ph.D. This week, he's earned his doctorate in robotics engineering. And I'm super happy for him. P.I.'s on our phone lines right now. There it is. What's up, man?
What's going on, boss, man? I appreciate the love, man. I appreciate the love. I really do, man.
How many years have you been putting into this?
My Ph.D.? Six.
6 years.
6 years, man. 6 years of research. Yeah, master's degree, PhD.
So what's this mean now? You go start creating robots that attack humanity? You become a teacher? Yeah, what do you do next?
Yeah, we're already creating robots that attack humanity. Now I get to command other people to do that. Now I'm actually a PI. That's a principal investigator in education. That's what PI stands for.
Really?
Yeah.
So this title that we've been calling you all these years, and I know your real name, I don't know if you want me to say it on air or not, but it is what you've earned. It's PI, your principal investigator, which is essentially a professor in robotics engineering.
Yes, sir. That means I can lead research. I can lead research groups. I can lead students. I can lead other professors. I can pretty much research whatever I can think of when I'm asleep.
That's nice, man. Listen, I'm really happy for
you. Appreciate it, man.
It's too patronizing to say I'm proud of you, but I'm proud to have you in our community, man. And
absolutely, it's really cool.
What you've accomplished.
I really appreciate it, man. You too. You know, I'm trying to be like Will Cain one day, just climbing up the ladder. That's it. One foot at a time.
What do you have for me today besides the PI celebration moment?
All right. So since we got that celebration popping bottles, so New York, I think it's too landlocked, right? I just think it's like a real business hub. There's not a lot of room for huge universities. Like these B1 schools are huge if you look at the actual campus size, plus the population of the students. Like the population of New York is really large, but the land size is really small compared. So you don't have room for huge universities with big research centers that aren't making any money, right? Everything's about making capital in New York. That's why I think it's not really a place for D1 schools. It's for people to root for because they come from other schools. They're educated people. They bring their passion with them. But my big thing was liability for all this COVID stuff with these universities. We're talking about professionals. Like, who's going to cover all the liability? Like,
so here's what I think on the FBI. We don't have a ton of time. I think the government's going to go ahead and take away potential liability causes. I think they're just going to say you don't have a cause of action. If you return to work, if you return to school, you're going to take that risk on your own. That's my suspicion, because otherwise you're right. The liability hangs over every productive measure going forward.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking like, if we're using football for revenue, what if school X in Texas is playing school Y in Alabama, and Alabama – the test wasn't rigorous enough. One student passes it to the whole team, and now their team has lost, you know, the last six games of the season or something crazy like that. Is one school going to be suing the other?
Because now you're talking about the entities suing each other. I think, and I'm up against a man. Once again, I'm happy for you. We'll be talking to you. You'll keep calling in. I hope you won't get too busy for us. I think generally we're going to have liability waivers. We're going to have causes of action done away with by the government. Otherwise, I don't know how you get back, because it hangs over everything.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.